Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com. Free Talk Live.
Which is talk radio you control. 603-283-6160 is the number for you to call. 603-283-6160. To get on the conversation with us, bring up whatever's on your mind. It doesn't matter because it's Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie.
Joa.
And Jay.
And before we get into more of Joa's trial that he's recapping for us, Jay, you had an announcement you wanted to make.
So, yes, I am going to be presenting this year at Anarchapulco X, the 10th anniversary of Anarchapulco.
Cool.
Anarchapulco is a Freedom Festival in conference, actually, in Acapulco, Mexico. And there's going to be, you know, all kinds of people there talking about all kinds of freedom stuff, anarchist stuff. It's an incredible adventure where you'll literally rub elbows with your personal heroes. Just take a look at this speaker's lineup, the 2024 Anarchapulco X Reborn. Freedom is Rising will be held at the beautiful and ever-expanding Jardín Secreto over the last few years. So check out anarchapulco.com for what's going on there. And if you go to anarchapulco.com/tickets and use coupon code J, you'll get a 10% discount. And it's going to be a good time. I have a good lineup there. Check it out. And also, Acapulco got hammered by a hurricane.
Like, Category 5.
Bad, yeah.
Yeah, and there's like a media blackout on it, or the media just rather talk about Israel and Maine.
Hmm.
Pretty much. I would say so. That's probably why we haven't.
Yeah, so there's $vigilante.tv, which is like Jeff Berwick's channel. He just put a thing out there. Talking all about this, and bad stuff's happening there at the moment. The website is hurricaneotisrecovery.com, and that's from essentially Jeff Berwick. If you guys want to, you know, help out with the they're taking donations or to help people in Acapulco, but hopefully they'll have everything straightened out in February. What's it? February 10th through 18th, I believe, is when the Anarchapulco is. But I hope to see you there.
Well, before we get back into Joa's trial, I actually also, so it's anarchapulco.com/tickets, and for a 10% coupon code, use code J.
J-A-Y, yes.
But before we get back into Joa's trial, I wanted to go to the phones. We have an unscreened caller. What's on your mind, caller? What's your name?
Hey, I was driving in New Hampshire Sunday about 3 a.m., and a state trooper followed me for about 10 miles, tailgating me right behind me. And I want to know, can I, like, FOIA for the name of the officer, any radio calls he made? I ended up not getting pulled over, but if there's, like, a state trooper that has it out for me, like, I want to know about it. You know what
so
I mean?
I can explain that to you. So the FOIA here is called a right to know request, which is RSA 91A.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I like better quoting the actual Constitution of New Hampshire for these requests, not their statute, which is basically if you read the New Hampshire Bill of Rights, it talks about open government and transparent government. Mm-hmm. I forget what clause it is.
I think it's 8, right?
So what you would do is if you have a date and time and a road that you were on and a direction you were traveling, I would include that in with the right to know request, and I would send it to whatever barracks there is and I would do it certified mail, or I would do it, you know, well, in hand.
Well, you mentioned the things that can identify who's following them, but you need to ask specifically something to the effect of,
yep.
I'd like to know all the plates that he ran, or something like that.
You call guys, logs.
Yeah, call logs, communications, text messages, and, you know, calls to dispatch. Those are the things you request. But
And also, if you can even, if you really want to, you know, narrow it down, whatever plate number was on the car, be like, hey, did you run this plate? You could do that also. Now, just curious, what state plate was on the car?
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, okay. So a lot of people
I think maybe he wanted to read all my bumper stickers.
Oh, that's nice. Maybe he's getting smarter.
That can sort of make you a lightning rod, you know, for these guys' attention. But the people who run Montana plates often get followed. Yeah. I hear this all the time. And then the cops usually turn around or they, you know, pull off somewhere. But it's been said, Grafton police and actually Meredith police, I don't know. So the Meredith police said that they don't like giving tickets to people with Montana plates because they always have to go to court. And then another friend of mine, he was in Grafton, sure. And a cop told him the same thing, that, oh, if I write a ticket to someone with a Montana plate, I know I'm going to court.
I feel so safe driving in my Montana plate cars with all my Free Talk Live, Cop Block, Peace bumper stickers, porcupines. I've never been pulled over in New Hampshire, and I don't even really get followed by cops. I think that they don't want to deal with me because of that.
I would say so. They see a porcupine sticker on your car in New Hampshire, they're less likely to pull you over.
They just know it won't be an easy, quick stop.
They know it's going to be challenged, at least on the scene or in court later on.
Unless it's a cop who has a hard-on for it, which, you know, you're going to come across those once in a while. Yeah. But usually they get straightened out pretty quick.
So that's why he was following me for so long.
Right, that...
He was trying to... He was like, he really wanted to pull me over, but he was like, ah, no.
I'm waiting for him to give me a real good reason.
Does that kind of answer your... Oh, go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, I wrote all that down. I really appreciate it. I've got another question. Do you mind going through the basics of, like, the common sense stuff that the state has to do that you can get, like, a uninspected ticket thrown away, or, like, any traffic ticket, just, like, the real simple stuff. If they mess this up, dismiss.
One of the things that Mark Stevens talks about in his books,
Adventures in Legal Land.
Yeah. He'll say, maybe he doesn't explain that exactly in that book, but that's a great book to read about this, is to get them to answer a bunch of simple questions they'd have to answer if they were there, like, what color was the car? What kind of car was it? And if they can't even answer, if they can't answer those things without looking at notes or anything, you could get them thrown out for, maybe it's not incompetency, but for not, they can't be a good witness if they don't know what color the car was that was there. Do you guys have any other ones like that?
Those are kind of technical. So, yeah, if they misspell your name, misspell your address, all these different little things, you could get them on a technicality and get it thrown out. However, they won't make the mistake the second time. Or they purposely made the mistake so that they hope you catch it because they realize they didn't really want to do it.
No, I mean on the stand. Like, you get them in there and you say, okay, so... what color was my car
that day
you pulled me over? If they don't know, then they can't really be a competent witness. That's what Mark Stevens thinks. I'm not saying I have
that. As a position of a judge, I'd just be like, I don't care.
What I really recommend people study, and Mark Stevens has a pretty good layout for it, is impeaching the witness. So one of the things that you can do with a cop when he's on the stand is you can ask the cop, what evidence do you rely on that the New Hampshire code, for example, RSA, it's because they're not enforcing law, they're enforcing statutory code, that what evidence do you have that the New Hampshire code applies to anyone quite simply because they are standing on the land that we call New Hampshire? Now, I like to say standing on the land we call New Hampshire because I don't like to say somebody in New Hampshire, because the term in is defined in the statutory construction manual as within, and New Hampshire is also defined as a corporation. So you can, if you are within the corporate jurisdiction or the corporate body politic or the corporation of New Hampshire, that's totally different than standing on land. So what evidence do you have that the code you're enforcing applies to me simply because I'm standing on a land we call New Hampshire. And what's going to happen is the prosecutor is going to object.
Yep.
And the judge is probably going to accept the prosecutor's objection and say you can't ask that question. And then you have to object. And they're going to say, actually, you can't ask the cop that question. I forget the exact language they're going to use.
They told me that Jane, the parking inspector, wasn't qualified to answer right. that question, so move on.
So right there, you've essentially impeached the witness. But get into Mark Stevens' stuff about impeaching the witness. There's a lot of great videos on YouTube about that. And practice this. Role play it. Even if you make a phone call with somebody, but if you can get together with some people and do some role playing, practice. Somebody's a prosecutor, somebody's a judge, you know, and the thing, even if you just do it with yourself in a mirror, you know, it really helps. And anyways, but yeah, what evidence do they have that their code applies to you is very, very important, and let them present that evidence, because that sets it up for an appeal issue, because then you have to object to the judge not allowing the witness to answer the question, because this witness is out there enforcing these codes.
Right.
And so he needs to have evidence that he has that these apply to people, and the evidence does not exist. And another really good right to know request would be a right to know request to the attorney general for the county or the state of New Hampshire or whatever county you want, or even city, asking them for the evidence they rely on, that simply because you're standing on the soil, they call New Hampshire, that their RSA, revised statutes at annotated, apply to you. And they'll probably just deny it and say that document doesn't exist. You know, what document do you rely on for evidence? Because, yes, the other thing, you could ask them for documents or something on paper, like a roll call log is would be a document. So I think that's a real good way to set it up. Now, my wife had a court trial here in a statutory court, you know, the lower court, this summer. And I was her asking the cop questions, and I asked the cop that question. What evidence do you have that these codes apply simply because I'm standing on land called New Hampshire? And the judge let the cop answer the question because the prosecutor asked, just a couple questions before, the prosecutor asked, if somebody's in New Hampshire, does the law apply to them, is what the prosecutor asked the cop. And the cop said yes. So I was able to take and say, well, what evidence do you have of that? And he said he had no evidence. That was his answer. If you go on YouTube or you go on Free Keen Odyssey, actually, Jay, the Noons Go to Court, or Shallon and Jay, I don't remember the exact tag.
Or go to Joe's channel.
But anyways, on an Odyssey at that where my wife's trial, right at the 2-hour mark, right about there, into the video, you can see where I asked the cop what evidence he relies on that the code applies, and he said he doesn't have it. There is none.
That's crazy.
You know what's interesting today in court is the judge brought it up several times. She was like, "Are you impeaching the witness?"
That's weird.
She mentioned that was the first time I ever heard that, and then you mentioned it was interesting. And I said, no, not yet. I haven't gotten there yet.
That's so weird.
So did you make an attempt to impeach the witness?
Yes, I tried. And I did that by providing a printout of what criminal trespass law.
Yeah.
Well,
and
before
I said
we get
to
more
him,
into the trial, I think we should ask the caller if that was all you wanted to ask us.
Yeah, that was very informative. I do have some follow-up questions. I don't want to monopolize the time, but let me just ask, Jay, do you consider just immediately filing a motion to dismiss? Like, why wouldn't you just say motion to dismiss, no evidence that the law, the RSA applies, was presented?
So in the court, I should have done a, so we did a motion to dismiss previous to this, to the court trial.
Mm-hmm.
And they just denied it because that's what they do. But you have to do the motion to dismiss anyways to preserve these things for appeal,
mm-hmm.
because you just have to be willing to take it to appeal. It's the bottom line. And what I should have done at that exact time was move the court to strike the witness and dismiss the charge, as they stated that there was no evidence that their code applied. But actually, the judge still found my wife guilty of child endangerment. And a whole other thing about this is the cop on the stand said that the child was not in danger.
Never in danger.
Never in danger is what he said. And, you know, I don't know. This was that she let my our daughter, at the time, 2-year-old daughter, take a nap in the car for about 20 minutes while she ran into a store. And some busybody who happens to be a career parasite that works in the county prosecutor's office saw the Health Freedom New Hampshire sticker on my wife's car and the other freedom stickers. And, you know,
on the day of a huge health freedom rally.
I don't know if it was a health.
It was. I was there that day. And
March 18th was a health freedom rally.
Yeah, in front of Concord. So tons of people had to know about this. Oh, there's a bunch of, you know, crazy freedom people in front of Concord saying that they don't want to take vaccines. And then she happens to see one of their cars, you know, and then she's like hits the jackpot. And she works for a prosecutor's office.
Yeah, there's like
conflict.
A serious conflict of interest. They all collect their pay. The judge, the prosecutor, and their first witness collect their pay from the same entity. They all pay into the same pension fund. They'll all collect from the same pension fund. And I'm trying to find out if somebody could verify this to me. One thing I'm trying to find out is this child endangerment. I forget the exact charge. RSA. I'll have to look it up here. I had read in one newspaper article that there is federal grant money for each time that this child endangerment thing is enforced and there's a conviction.
Just like stupid kids in schools, they get more money.
And so what they do is they either give the police department or the judicial pension fund or the court or the county or somebody gets some kind of federal dollars for each time that they use this particular thing. And one thing I can tell you about the federal dollars that DCYF gets, for example, a lot of that goes directly to their pension fund. In fact, the first thing that is that taxpayers fund is pensions, and then secondary comes infrastructure. And also another thing that we know about is when judges in family court award child support, the judicial pension fund in every state, from what I understand, I haven't verified this for New Hampshire yet, but this is a federal thing. The feds give 66% of whatever the child support award goes into, and I believe it's every month, not just a one-time, goes into the judicial pension fund. Maybe it's just a one-time shot. I'm not sure. But if anybody had any information on how that worked and could email me, jay@jaynoone.com. That's J-A-Y at J-A-Y-N-O-O-N-E.com.
Well, thank you so much for the call, anonymous caller. I kind of forgot to ask his name.
Oops.
Yep, oops. We also have another on the line here. Unscreened caller, what's on your mind?
Oh, this is Star Child, and I'm not trying to call in again.
You're trying to listen.
Break right now. I just wanted to say that I was, in terms of joining the organization, it's not for individuals. It's for startup countries or groups that are trying to become independent. So
I see.
For New Hampshire to join.
Oh, that makes sense.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Not
maybe
individuals, but the Free State Project or the New Hampshire Independence Alliance or whatever the group is
That's actually a pretty interesting idea. So there is a big group of people who in New Hampshire are advocating for independence. So I could possibly pass that information on to some of those people and they could see if they're interested in that. Thanks for that clarification and also suggestion. That could be a pretty valuable thing if they're part of some kind of an alliance. So, Joa.
Yes.
I just want to get back into what we were talking about with your trial today, on trial, because Don Bolduc attacked you and then said, He hit me. That's how he said it, too. Like, I remember so well. He was like, he hit me. And he's, like, smiling because it's so
and
fun
then,
to
And
get
then
hit.
After he said he hit me, he just goes,
three times.
USA. He's the one that started that.
Oh, yeah, that's so weird.
He started that chant.
That's so freaking weird. Like, what does that have to do with anything?
No, he's just trying to drown out the belligerent, loud, outspoken, disruptive. These are all the words, I'm pretty sure these are all the words the head of security said today. And
about
he
you?
Was embarrassed. He was embarrassed for me, the college, the police, the supporters.
Like, you need him to be embarrassed for you, Joa?
Yeah, I actually really appreciated him being embarrassed for me because I wasn't.
So, go back into this idea of the judge asking you, are you trying to impeach the witness? That seems kind of annoying. It's like, why are you trying to, even if that was what you were trying to do, why does she wouldn't do that to the lawyer, would she? Are you
trying
to do this?
Oh, no, I'm pro se, and I was, look, I'm not,
so annoying.
I'm not playing dumb. I just, like, as you're in the motions of court, you kind of think you're doing the right thing, then all of a sudden, they check you, like, we can't do that. Da, 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 da. And, like,
well, they like to mess with you because you're not of the bar people.
Right. And the judge was very, very chill. Like, she was just letting a bunch of things that I was saying slide. And the prosecution is like, how many times can we let this these leeways go and, like, you know, these things slide? And, like, he just kept on getting up. And he's, like, so monotone. Like, it's psychotic in a way, too. Like, yeah.
How much of a drone he is?
Yeah, exactly. A drone. And, but I think he has a little bit more going on there because he definitely has psychotic ways at the end there, trying to get physical.
Shoulder checking people.
Yeah, well, he tried to walk through me. He threatened to dox me. Like, literally, as soon as the judge stepped out of the courtroom, he started, like, pulling his junk and, you know, hit my friend with the laptop just to, you know, hit him as he's going by. Like, not hit him, but, like, you know, just... You could have avoided your laptop from touching my friend. Like, yeah. you purposely pushed into him. And it's just ridiculous. What was I going to... Oh, for the impeachment part, I actually had printed out the sort of... what's it called? The criminal trespass law. And I made it nice and bold and big and printed it out. And when he was on the cop was on the stand, I was like, could you please circle the areas of which I violated the law in this, you know, trespassing law?
Mm-hmm.
And he just circles a couple things, like knowing, like, I forget the other things he circled right off the top of my head. It was actually, this paper became evidence, but the prosecution objected, and it's like, well, we're trying to get legal determinations out of the witness, and I'm like, he already answered.
Hmm.
He already answered on this thing, and the judge marked it as evidence, and you know what? It's evidence now, and he made legal determinations on the stand.
Yeah, it's a little, you would think that they, because every time I tried to ask, I mean, I've only been on trial once in New Hampshire and was doing it from a perspective of trying to win and being pro se. And every time I try to ask a question like how does a law apply to me, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
They just kept saying objection. She's trying to make the meter maid come to a legal conclusion.
Right.
And so you would think that he would have just objected right away to what you're saying and got it the judge to, you know.
Yeah.
Get you to stop asking, so. It seems like she's a little lazy.
Yeah, it was just interesting that I get to repeat certain words I can't say on the air. I'll just say, you F Jew hater. Okay? I said it over and over again because these are the quotes that they put in of my disorderly conduct. And I asked them,
more coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. The White House pushes for more to be done to address the epidemic of gun violence in the United States.
It's within Congress's power to pass legislation that will make our streets safer, that will make our community safer, that will make our schools safer.
Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre commented on the mass shooting that claimed 18 lives in Lewiston, Maine on Wednesday night. She urged newly elected House Speaker Mike Johnson to collaborate with Democrats in passing gun reform measures. A program to make affordable electric vehicles for the global market between General Motors and Honda Motor Company have been canceled. The companies issued a joint statement confirming they will no longer partner in the program. New York Democrat Jamal Bowman pleads guilty to misdemeanor for triggering a fire alarm in a Capitol building. He'll pay a $1,000 fine and write an apology letter to the Capitol Police. Dave Collins, USA News.
I need answers to my tax questions. Where could I find them?
Need answers? Try our interactive tax assistant on irs.gov/ITA. Simply select your tax questions, provide your information, and it gives you answers. Also, check our help and resources page and try our online tax map. 5,000 tax topics from A to Z. Plus, you can access forms, publications, in a variety of formats.
If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. You're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That you control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to get in on the last segment of Free Talk Live with us tonight.
Come on, call in.
603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Joa, and Jay.
And we were talking the last couple segments about Joa's trial that just started today. He's on trial because Don Bolduc assaulted him and said that he assaulted Don Bolduc.
Yes, I didn't.
Oh, my gosh. But first, we're going to go to your phone calls and thoughts. David in New Mexico, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Who's Don Bulldog?
He is. He ran for Senate in New Hampshire.
He was the youngest police officer in New Hampshire history.
Oh, my God.
And a one-star general in the Army.
And the Eagle Scout.
I'm impressed.
I made that one up.
I'm going to have to... I doubt he was an Eagle Scout. Actually, maybe. Those guys are kind of neurotic. I got a bunch of things I could say, but you talked about... The LSD thing, what program
MK
was that?
Ultra?
Yeah, MK Ultra. But first of all, I just want to interject, Jay, child trafficking. I appreciate everything you do to plug child trafficking, and I just want to say that people got annoyed with me for plugging it for 15 years, and who's the German Pastor Martin Niemöller. First they came for David, and nobody cared because they weren't David. Then they came for Jay. So it might not have happened. There would have been 15 years of buildup to stopping these people, head start, before they got to you, but nobody cared. So MK Ultra, let me open the window that I had open. This is kind of interesting in case anybody is interested in studying this kind of stuff. I had a relative, he's passed, first of all, I'm not invading anybody's privacy because this guy is dead. He had no children. He had no wife at the time of his death.
This is fair game, right?
Yeah, his family members, his generation and older are all deceased. It's only descendants that are living, and he has no descendants himself. And it's interesting reading because this is a law.justia, you know, that site, Justia, JUSTIA.com, cases/federal/whatever else, but you can find it by Googling his name, Kenneth Schloman, S-C-H-L-O-M-A-N-N, double N at the end, middle initial H, because there is another Kenneth Schloman that has some prominence on Google, for instance. But what happened to this guy, this was in the early 60s, and this guy was in the military. He was in the Marines. He was stationed in Alaska. He was in an artillery unit, and he had no previous history of any misbehavior whatsoever. He was in his 20s, I believe. He was married, and the only negative thing against him is that on the day of this incident, which I'll tell you about, which is kind of interesting. He was at an Applebee's or something, watching sports in the afternoon on a day off on a weekend, I believe. And mm-hmm. he had like the witnesses claim he had like a dozen beers over like 4 hours. But I know all kinds of dudes that drink a dozen beers over 4 hours and don't do anything like I'm going to tell you.
Right.
So he's watching a football game, drinking beers, and obviously you got to go pee. And I've had a personal conversation with him before he passed away as to what he thinks happened. He thinks that while he was away using the restroom, you know, back in the day, we didn't protect our drinks, so we didn't get roofied or whatever. And he thinks that somebody put something in his drink. And what happened was he was at the restaurant having these beers, and they 86 him from the restaurant, you know, apparently, you know, because of his dozen beers or whatever. But he went home. And he doesn't have much. He admits to all of this, but he doesn't have much memory of what transpired, other than that what he was told, and he doesn't disagree with any of it. But he ended up going home, putting on his dress blues, and taking his military issued rifle, and he ended up killing two civilians. And then it took five police officers to restrain him, five on one dude.
Wow.
And that was back in the day of MK Ultra. And I suspect, you know, it might have been just somebody playing a prank on him, or it might have been, you know, because it checks a lot of the boxes that MK Ultra stuff does. If you want somebody to get out a gun, you know, on some sort of a, you know, prompt, command, trigger, whatever.
During a sports game, maybe? People. Sorry, that just I just thought of that. Maybe they wanted to put the trigger word in during the sports broadcast?
Yeah, I have no idea. I'm just giving the evidence that, oh, but what is interesting, let me double down on the fact that you can read, because Ken, what he did is they held him at Leavenworth for 28 years, mm-hmm. and at one point he filed an appeal against the warden of the prison in Kansas, for release, because it was a habeas corpus, I believe, and so he wanted them to supply the reason why they were continuing to hold him. But it's interesting reading, and it's not all that long. It's you can read it in, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes of legal reading, and it's kind of interesting. So that's what I know, and it fits into the, it, like I said, checks boxes. It fits into that era, and it fits into that MO, you know, of possibly being drugged with LSD or something else. And the only question in my mind is, you know, was it a prank? Was it a civilian that put it in there as a prank? Or was this part of a, you know, possibly part of the MK Ultra thing?
Well, if it was like an MK Ultra, they definitely got him in a at a point where he's in a vulnerable state, and they definitely picked a prime candidate. Someone who doesn't have any family members, no spouse, no kids.
Well, he had a spouse. He had a spouse at the time.
Oh, you said he was married, right? Right.
There's no kids. Yeah.
But that seems like a prime sort of target.
He's in the military.
If that was a thing, I mean. I don't know. I know. I tell you what. I got roofied once.
Whoa.
I was at a Dave and Buster's. I'm not even joking. And I put my drink down. I did a 360, and I picked up my same drink. And then right after I took my next sip, I was blacking out. My friends said that they had to help me out of the place. And, you know, I trusted my friend. You know, so I know I didn't do anything stupid. But dang, it's easy to roofie someone. I was out of it, absolutely out of it.
I had a guy, I was at a college party with my, I was basically with my sister, and so this was 2000, I was at this college party, and this kid comes up to me, and he's like, hey, dude, you want to get with her? And I'm standing next to my sister, and
oh,
I'm like,
God.
And and she's actually not my sister by blood, but, and she's, I'm like, maybe. And I'm like, what you got, man? And he's like, I got some stuff. He's like, come over here. So he starts telling about these roofies and how to use them and how they work. So I was like, yeah, let's go outside and do this. As soon as we walked outside, I beat this dude.
Wow.
I go get my sister. Her and a bunch of her field hockey friends just start kicking the crap out of this kid as he's out on the ground. They took all of his money. They basically strapped him naked. But he had, like, bottles of roofies.
Whoa.
And pretty sure he ended up getting carted to the hospital. He had to have, the way these girls were just beating him and kicking him was ridiculous. But he was, like, literally like, hey, dude, you can get her pants. This is how you do it. She won't resist at all.
Oh, my God. That's so disgusting.
Yep, man. He was, I was like, okay, buddy. Yeah, let's go outside. So it was a little vigilante justice there, you know.
That is crazy.
I went to a house party here in Keene because we went, heard a call, Press NH Now and I, and apparently that there was an assault earlier that night, and that's almost exactly what you described. They kicked the rapist out of their house, and like they kind of roughed them up a little bit, and the police were called for an assault, but, you know, that all settled out. Anyways, it was just interesting.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy what people are capable of doing to other people and just what these drugs can do and something just gets slipped in your drink. I'm so glad nothing like that has ever happened to me, but it could be something as simple as that, David, that happened with your family member. But it just seems weird. Like, why would some man just want to roofie some other man at the bar watching sports?
Take his money.
That's a good point.
See, the thing with, like, with the most of the time for MK Ultra, they use LSD. Mm-hmm. In LSD, you can pretty much convince someone that's under to do anything you want them to do.
Right. My friends, I never did LSD because I was always afraid to do it because at a very young age, like middle school, two of my very close friends did it, and I always heard this story. I wasn't there around them when it happened, but they did it, and then one of them went and was threatening the other with a knife, and like they're both on LSD, and it was like a really scary situation for them. And ever since I heard that, I was like, yeah, I never want to do that.
And so I do not recommend it, in my opinion.
So many other people will tell me, oh my gosh, that kid must have had something already wrong with him, like, which could
be true.
But it's just like, I don't know, it seems like a drug I want to stay away from, to be honest.
Good thinking.
Anything else, David?
No, that's it. But it'd be interesting if anybody reads this appeal, if they have any thoughts about it.
Can you state the name of the appeal so somebody can look into it again, just so to write it down?
Yeah, I'll give you the title of the appeal, but I found it as simply as Googling Kenneth Schloman, S-C-H-L-O-M-A-N-N. Middle initial happens to be H, but the title of the appeal is Kenneth H. Schloman, Petitioner Appellant versus R.I. Mosley, Warden, United States Penitentiary, Leavenworth, Kansas, Respondent Appellee. And I won't bother with the numbers, 457, et cetera, because nobody can follow that anyway.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Yeah, somebody might be interested in that. Thank you for the call, David. Did you have more to say about your trial that happened today, Joa, that's still being, it's still in the process, not over yet?
Well, it's going to be continued, Sarah. But the judge is wondering, how much more time do you think you're going to need, Joe.
It's like as much as you want. I mean, I know. As much as you need. I can't stand that.
I responded with...
Like, you're wasting her time.
Exactly. And I said, as much as it takes to have a fair trial.
Nice.
That's what I said to her. And but also... then she kind of like asked me like a couple more times how much time, and I was like, I don't know, I got four more hours of video footage, I don't know, maybe a month. But she didn't like that. I think she wanted me to finish it right there and then, that way she could have dismissed everything. I don't think she wants us to carry on. I think I made a fool of the prosecutor, and oh, God.
In what kind of
way? Should I dox him? Because he threatened to dox me today.
Doxing is. So how can you hurt me by doxing me?
Well, I don't think it's particularly illegal, but I think it's wrong. And I think it's misconduct for a prosecutor to threaten that. But so Jay Noon, what's your middle name? You don't tell me. I'm just saying. This is like about doxing. You know, you live here. This is where you go to work. This is where you go to sleep. This is where you, you know, go shopping. That's doxing. I'm telling everyone where to find
you.
You
take all your information and you publish it.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And I'm letting people know how to get you, right? Like how to confront this MF-er and, you know, good luck in society. That's doxing. It's actually illegal in some states.
Is this guy's bot? Because you're dealing with an assistant DA, not the actual district attorney.
This is a Goffstown prosecutor.
Okay, so he's an assistant DA.
Yeah, I guess.
So is the guy he's under a George Soros-funded prosecutor?
I mean, I don't know, probably.
I mean...
That's a good question.
How do you even know that? How do you figure that out? I hear, this prosecutor over here...
Well, he's a thug, for once.
Well, most of them are.
It's true.
I haven't met a prosecutor that wasn't. Well, that's not true. I did meet one who was like, he was in Palmer Court, and he was like, I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait to be done with this. He's like, I'm not even going to prosecute your case. And, you know, but he was one of these guys that I talked with him. I'm like, where's the evidence, that I'm a person? Your person is defined as a corporation. Your code applies to persons. And he's like, okay, I just can't wait to be done with this job.
Sure. Yeah. One last thing here is that the prosecutor. Oh my God, I forgot. I lost my train of thought here.
Was it about your shiny badge?
No, not that.
Did you get to wear the shiny badge?
I wore it the whole time.
Nice.
Yeah.
For the listeners that don't know what that is, there's this little thing that a lot of people here in the New Hampshire community have, which is a shiny badge that you can wear that says, badges don't grant extra rights. Isn't that what it says?
That's right.
Yep.
All right, so I remembered. The judge sequestered witnesses, right? So that they can't talk to each other or the prosecution or me, right? They can't talk to anyone. Press NH now, as soon as we were dismissed for the day and the judge left the courtroom and the prosecutor did his little harassing stuff and he went into the back room to the conference room all the way down the hall. Press went down there with this camera. Guess what was happening?
They were all chatting.
The witness that got sequestered, chit-chatting about the case with the prosecutor.
Wow. Sounds on camera?
Sounds like you need to send an affidavit to your local state representative and have them investigate this case and call a committee.
I think that prosecutor should be terminated.
And the only way that's going to happen is if you guys do you got to do an affidavit, you and the witnesses, and hopefully accompany this video with it.
Let me tell you why it's not going to matter.
Why?
Judge is going to be like... The judge is going to ask the prosecutor, did you talk to the witness? Oh, not about the case, just about, football or something. And then the witness is the officer, Matthew, whatever. He's no longer an officer, he's retired.
He's going to, testify that he didn't.
Yeah, did you talk to the prosecutor about the case? Oh, no, we're talking about football. That's what's going to happen.
Okay.
And nothing's going to happen.
It's okay. Another question for these cops is when they're on the stand, are you taught? During an investigation, it's okay to lie to someone you're investigating to?
Ah, I did do this. I asked, I got objected by the prosecution, and I was like, whatever. I just moved on, because the judge wasn't having anything with it either. I asked them, are you allowed to lie? Were you, as a police officer, are you allowed to lie? And then the prosecutor is just like, objection.
And they're there on their authority as a cop. So if they say that they are allowed to lie as a cop, that's basically just throw them out. They're not a good witness.
Mm-hmm. And what's fascinating
is... They're a hostile witness.
I, I don't know if I'm going to challenge this, but I was thinking about challenging this. So the cop that took the stand, he's retired, so he didn't dress up as a uniformed cop. But the other cop will be potentially uniformed when he takes the stand. And I will object if a witness is on the stand with a gun.
Why is that?
This is intimidation to the defense. Why is the witness that arrested me, why is this guy with a gun on the witness stand? And I'm disarmed here? This doesn't make any sense. The witness should not be intimidating the defense with this gun on the stand.
Is this a bench trial or a jury trial?
This is a bench trial.
So you'll get a appeal it to a jury trial?
If necessary. I don't think it will.
Okay, so but this is class what? Misdemeanor?
A Class B misdemeanor.
Class B, so that the appeal is a is an actual jury trial.
Correct.
Yep.
And the other thing is a violation. So disorderly was a violation. I don't get how that works. How can you get here's a fine for being disorderly? You know it's all baloney when they're just doing that and they can't say you committed a crime. Nope, violation.
They want to just get you to just plead to just doing the violation, so you'll just, you know, not take it to trial, and you'll think, oh, it's just going to be a fine. This can all be over.
Well, it's not. I did a violation. Let's just say. But what they did to me is violated my rights.
Right.
I'm not giving them a violation charge. I'm giving them a criminal charge for violating my rights, kidnapping me, trying to steal from me, wasting my time. Assaulting me. Well, that was bold. I mean, putting cuffs on someone that didn't commit any violence,
right,
and just said some words you may not have liked because you were offended and embarrassed. Oh, well. Welcome to America.
This isn't
North Korea, people.
It's kidnapping. It should also be assault, too, because, like, being in handcuffs is they have to grab you and force you to put your arms a certain way that you don't naturally want to have them. It can sometimes hurt. I don't know if they hurt you with them. I was, like, kind of going off on a, not a tangent, but I was, like, sitting there dwelling today while I was doing dishes, thinking about when the cops detained me during the raid on my house, the FBI raid that was on my house in 2021. It was just, I was thinking, it's just so annoying because I was never under arrest, yet I was handcuffed for, like, over an hour, and that's just something that you Americans out there listening believe only ever happened to people who are suspected of doing a crime. But I kept asking the guy, can I pick up my dog? Can you handcuff me and I'll stay right here and just let me pick up my dog? And he kept saying, no, don't worry about the dog. As I said, oh, well, thanks. He's just running around in the street in the darkness where I don't know that a cop's car isn't going to hit him. But I would ask him, am I being detained? Because he had never said I was, and he thought very carefully, and he was just like, you're being restrained until we can find out if anything in the house is going to hurt us.
That's the same as being detained. It's the same as being arrested.
Right. I mean, it's the same as being freaking handcuffed and not able to freely move.
That's right.
Without being accused of even doing a crime. It's not like I was ever accused even of doing a crime and then they dropped it or anything like that. I was never accused of doing a crime, and they held me handcuffed for over an hour, and then they put my dog in a different car eventually. They, like, separated us. Like, why can't my dog be in the same car as me?
Well,
we're going to share information or something?
We're going to crack this coconut.
Yeah. That's his name. I just think, I'm pretty sure it was you that said it, Joa, that handcuffs they were originally for slaves.
Absolutely.
Well,
police in general were created for runaway slaves.
Right.
Yeah, the lawyers are the farmers. British Agricultural Revolution is the acronym for Bar Association. The lawyers are farmers, and the people are the cattle, and the lawyers are to keep them in the box. This is why they always want you to operate through a lawyer. Have all this codes and rules and all this stuff for these courts, these procedures you're supposed to follow. They want you to spend $15,000 on a lawyer to defend yourself or just plead guilty, you know, to a lesser charge.
It is kind of funny how they treat you like you're not a 100% human, so you need someone else who's part of their club to represent you. Right.
They're not part of the bar. Barely human.
And the thing is it's because everybody's essentially presumed as a minor, a slave, property of the, of the United States. And those are, you know, presumptions that need to be rebutted. And there's a lot of people can learn about that all over the place. But the bottom line is understanding who you are. And when you start signing their papers, asking them for permission, you sort of, you know, make yourself a slave. You actually make yourself a minor by asking for these driver's licenses and, you know, getting a social security number and, you know, filing tax forms. All this stuff is essentially, I call them jurisdictional traps.
I look at New Hampshire. It's a different way of escaping slavery. But the Free State Project has definitely provided that sort of avenue for you to become freer in your life. And I look at, like, prosecutors as like house slaves. They're definitely not, like,
free.
They're definitely not free, and they're definitely not at the top. They're just doing the minion work, and they just, you know, obeying so they can collect their pension so they can hang out and drink mimosas with their buddies.
Yeah, there was some rapper, Mos Def, and he says that the real civil war, the real civil war isn't between, you know, white people and black people. It's between, and he doesn't use the word slave. He uses the N-word, but I'll say slave. It's between house slaves and field slaves. Yeah. Or the next civil war, he says, it's going to be between house slaves and field slaves. And that's what I told the tax collector in the in the town hall. I says, you're just a house slave. That's all you are.
Nice.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, dang it, I kind of lost it. Go ahead.
Sorry. I would just, since you mentioned all that, I really highly encourage everyone to go go look up the Jones Plantation by Larkin Rose.
Yep.
It was pretty good. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely a lower budget, but you know what? It's well scripted, good acting, and it really describes how you're a house slave and a field slave.
Well, Larkin Rose was at Pork Fest this year. I got to talk to him a little bit. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw him, but I didn't actually get to go talk to him. I was just busy, but I did want to talk to him. But I remember what I was going to say. One thing that I've kind of realized this year is there's not really white privilege and, you know, white people have it better than other people. I think people have the privilege as far as all of us people who should be on the same playing field, like underling type people, are the compliant citizens. They have privilege. They don't understand what it's like to be attacked by, you know, the media and the government and be, you know, treated as a second-class citizen just for living your life. Free Talk Live. This is going to be the last segment, so I'm not going to give out the number. Go to freetalklive.com.
Cahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.